Welcome to Hashtag Health. I'm your host this week, Sydney Timmermans. Psychiatric care has undergone profound changes in the last 100 years. Changes have occurred in treatment.
The patient is heavily sedated. A second drug relaxes her muscles so completely she must be given oxygen to keep her breathing. Until about 20 years ago, the shock was administered while the patient was still awake, and convulsions were so severe, many patients broke bones while thrashing around.
Changes have occurred in how we perceive those with mental illness.
Nightmare. Addiction to drugs, too often acquired with tragic carelessness, may take control of a life and force actions not dreamed of before. To these addicts, life's only work is to find money for drugs. In their desperation.
And changes in care deliverance.
The way they end for me here in this place, a mental hospital they call it. That's a fancy name, that is, but I know a better. The bug house, a place where they lock you up and then throw away the key. And now they've got me, too.
Despite these changes, we recognize that we still have a long ways to go in terms of the societal stigmatization of mental illness and also the ability to provide the best care. However, today we are here to talk about one such advancement, which may open the door to improved access to psychiatric care and better management of patients. Collaborative mental health care is a broad term to describe the shared efforts, expertise, resources, and decision-making in situations where mental health care is required. This truly represents a person-centered method of care aimed at ensuring equitable decision-making, participation, and shared resource allocation. The integration of psychiatrists into family health teams is one method of collaborative mental health care, and is something that one physician, Dr. Heather Sylvester, has been a part of in recent years. Dr. Sylvester is a family physician with additional training in mental health and addictions, and she is currently practicing in Stratford, Ontario. She joins us today to talk more on this subject of collaborative mental health care. Do you want to just tell me a little bit about what your path to medicine looked like?
Certainly. It was, you know, my path to medicine, fairly traditional. I went to McMaster University, did a Bachelor of Science in Biology and Psychology, a combined degree, and then applied to Mac and for med school, thought that was the only school I'd get into. Had put an application into Western, didn't think I would get in there. Had the interview at Mac, wasn't accepted there, but did get to Western, so that's life, right? Life goes in other directions. And then I did my, so 4 years at Mac, 4 years at Western.
And what motivated you to pursue additional training in psychiatry? Because I know you did family medicine first, and then you went back.
Extremely good question.
Yeah.
Very good question. So I was in, practicing comprehensive family medicine in Stratford, started in 1988. And, it was a time in Stratford or in small towns where family doctors kind of did everything, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't an option. You were delivering babies, you were doing emergency call, you were also taking care of, we all had to take care of all the patients in the hospital, right? Things have since become obviously more specialized, which is great. But it was a great time. But around the late 90s, the Ministry of Health sent out this bulletin and said, family docs who are interested in additional training in the following specialties, so psychiatry, OBGYN was one of them, and I think geriatrics was the other, that they will fund your training for what they call a re-entry or a PGY 3 year, which is a third year residency, in any of these specialties. They'll fund it. And I thought, I was doing more and more psychotherapy in my practice. Mm. So I was taking like a couple afternoons a week already, sort of just doing purely psychotherapy. Anyway, I thought, great, I'm going to do it. My kids were little. You know, lifestyle might be a little better too, right? Mm-hmm. So I took this training, did some of the work in Hamilton at MAC with two remarkable physicians who started up the whole mental health collaborative program, and also Western. And then I came back to Stratford, worked in outpatient mental health, plus a little bit of inpatient. We had one psychiatrist here who was one-on-one call, so the poor fella, right, he needed some help, so I helped out with that. And then for a number of years I worked sort of heading crisis intervention, mainly outpatient stuff. And then in 2018, the opportunity came up to work with the Stratford Family Health Team, 16 family docs, many, many thousands of patients. Myself and two psychiatrists moved into that building and provided on-site mental health care. And that's where I am now.
Okay, so when you did your training, the PGY3, like, what was that like? What sort of things did you go through learning?
Yeah, so there was, I have to say this, give kudos to this psychiatrist, Dr. Nick Cates in Hamilton, who basically started, he's a psychiatrist, started the whole collaborative mental health project that it was called back then. And it was quite remarkable, Sydney, in that I would spend time with him. We would go to various family medicine clinics in the Hamilton area. At that time, it's probably hard for you young folk to believe this, but it was something called a paper chart. But you would, you know, we would arrive at the family practice clinic. There would be a nurse who would give us the information about, oh, you're seeing this doctor's patient today, this doctor's patient, these are the issues. We would see the patients. We would write psychiatry note in the chart, and then we'd write down what our assessment was. So it was wonderful for the patient in many ways, because a patient didn't have to go to a psychiatry clinic or an outpatient psychiatry department, right? They could go to their own family doc. Hey, I'm just seeing my family doc, right? For that privacy piece. And then we would talk directly with the family doc on site and say, hey, you know, maybe they don't seem to be doing as well with this medication. We might suggest this or this type of therapy, right? So the family docs loved it. Right, there wasn't waiting for reports to come in and assessments from somewhere else. So that was my goal, was to bring that kind of program back to Stratford. But the need was here, going back to the need. We had one psychiatrist here, right, who was running the show at the hospital. So I couldn't really... I wasn't able to say, oh, I'm not helping out with that. I'm going to go into this family medicine clinic and I'm going to do collaborative mental health. But as of 2018, there are more psychiatrists at the hospital. The hospital gets a lot of funding for programs. And, you know, I'm now situated in this program.
What does your day-to-day look like with the collaborative mental health care programming? Can you explain a little bit more about what that looks like for Stratford?
Right. So we're in quite a... the program is situated in quite a large, relatively new medical building.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, there are 16 family docs in this family health team. And a couple of them are off-site, but they're still part of our team. So my job, kind of sort of a typical day would be, I arrive at the office, I meet with two mental health nurses who are part of our program. Mm-hmm. So we have two mental health nurses, three mental health physicians, two of whom are psychiatrists, one who is me, who's you know, family doc with additional training in mental health, and been doing this now for, because this was 2001 when I started, so golly gosh, 23 years of mental health now. So, you know, I will meet with the two nurses. They'll give me a run of the day, who we're going to be seeing, what the issues might be, and then I see patients both in person. I also see them over something called Ontario Telenetwork, or OTN, which you probably know about, right? Virtually, and that works extremely well. Patients seem to really like that.
The OTN.
OTN. You know, it's interesting in the area of medicine that I practice in, some don't like it because they're very private and they don't want people seeing in their house. So they may have some anxiety stuff, right? But it's always very informative to see in people's homes as well, like how they're kind of coping. You know, it looks like they're not coping well here, right? I've moved from sort of 25 to 30 patients in a day in family medicine. It's like luxury. It's like 10 patients, right? Because I need more time to do assessments. The other lovely thing is that, unlike family medicine, because these family docs have about 12 minutes to do an assessment, right? And they've got to move on. I have the time, so I can do things such as, let's talk about your childhood. You know, what was it like for you growing up? And you get so much information. So my day involves seeing patients. Sometimes the nurses will join. Sometimes I do it on my own. The other thing is, once a week, we have a noon hour meeting where we invite any family doc who wants to come and talk about their patients or someone they're struggling with, right, to come to those meetings and discuss their concerns. You know, very often in terms of your really good questions about what's accessibility here for patients, I find that really helps because sometimes it's as simple as the family doc has a question, right? And the patient doesn't need to go through the whole waiting to see the psychiatrist at the tertiary care center, right? The family doctor comes to the meeting and says, you know, I'm really struggling with this medication. Is this right for this patient? Or, you know, what would you suggest here? And they can get some information. And then they go back and they work with the patient.
Yeah.
Right? So it really, I believe this collaborative mental health program really helps with that whole backlog of...
The backlog. So let's just stop here for a minute to discuss the backlog that Dr. Sylvester mentions. According to Statistics Canada, only about half of Canadians with a mental disorder receive professional help. Of those that do receive services, the wait can be long, like really long, especially depending on where you live. The Canadian Centre for Addictions and Mental Health, CAMH, reports that some people can wait up to 2.5 years to see a psychiatric provider. It's also important to note here that although mental illness and substance use disorders make up about 11 to 13% of diseases in Ontario, they only receive approximately 7% of healthcare spending.
I worked outpatient psychiatry at the hospital, and we used to have a stack, like, you know, a huge stack of referrals, right? Yeah. And 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years was the wait. Here, if a family doctor refers in for a psychiatric assessment from a psychiatrist or myself, a long wait would be 2 months. That's long, right?
Wow.
Right?
That's really
impressive. Usually within the month.
Yeah. And so, especially if you have these people that normally, like you said, would be taking up a spot for a referral for psychiatry for something that the family doctor could probably manage if they had an answer to, like, a simpler question, then they could remain under their care. And
Right? But your point is such a good one. So then there's kind of this divide, and you're probably going to get to this question, but there's a divide between what I kind of call ambulatory care psychiatry, right, is kind of what we do. Mm. If someone is at imminent risk, right, so this is somebody who's, you know, talking with an active suicidal ideation, so they are active, they have a plan as opposed to passive suicidal ideation. We get crisis involved and they go to Emerge, right? We don't manage that. And that is because the hospital has the funding, the facilities to care for these folks that are that are imminent risk, right?
Yeah. So how many patients would you end up having to refer to that? Is that often or do you?
Rarely.
Yeah?
Rarely. Because part of that, I think, is because when I started in psychiatry and I'd already been in practice 14 years, you know, you'd hear that suicide mentioned and I'd feel like, oh my gosh, this person has to be admitted. But, you know, experience, I've kind of learned when this is much more concerning, right?
Yeah.
Assessing suicidal ideation and risk has really improved. And I work with crisis. The other thing is, Sydney, it is very much about your therapeutic alliance with the patient,
mm-hmm.
right? So being able to say, you know, you need to tell me, right, if you are at risk,
yeah.
right, that you are, and who are your supports doing that, you know, assessment for suicidal risk. And you sort of get better at that. But it's rare that I've had to do that. Rare.
And maybe because the model that you guys are working under is more of like, sounds like a bit more of a preventative care model. You're getting maybe those patients a bit earlier than the stage where going to inpatient psychiatry, showing up at Emerge.
And to support that point is when I was at when I worked at the hospital, it was more, and I'm stating the obvious, it was more frequent that I would have people where we got to bring you in.
Yeah.
We got to walk you over to the inpatient unit,
yeah.
right? Because we get the sicker folks and more chronic folks.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Quite a,
yeah. And so just to confirm with the, within the model that you're working in, the patients that you're receiving are coming from the family doctors that work also in the same
Yes.
unit.
Same,
you.
Yeah, and same.
Okay.
Except for two are off-site in the same building.
Okay.
Which is really quite lovely because I'm old school, and I, of course I had to learn the EMR like everybody else, and it's terrific. But I still walk down to the end of the building that has all the family docs and say, you know, hey, can I talk to you about, you know, Jane Smith here,
yeah.
right? And it's really quite lovely. It's collegiality and it's collaborative. Yeah. There it is.
So it would be similar to, I know some family health teams have like a dietitian working in the same unit. Is it kind of like that where if the need comes up for psychiatry in the patient interaction, then they say, okay, I will refer you within house to Dr. Sylvester.
Right. So when you say they, you're referring to the family
yes.
doc? Yes. And so absolutely, right? So how that works is, because I haven't sort of said how that works. So if you're seeing your family doc and you're part of the Stratford Family Health Team, and, you know, family doctors will manage a lot of mental health stuff. And there's the other thing, you know, with these being able to quickly call, say, a psychiatrist with our team or any of us, right, their confidence is going up. Oh, yeah, next time I know that, oh, I probably should be referring them for cognitive therapy for insomnia and this is what's available. Okay. So if your family doctor's seeing you, thinks you could benefit from a referral, you are referred to, we have an intake person who will meet with you, right, and first off, see, is this something that maybe initially therapy and a medication could help, right? And you don't really need to see one of the mental health physicians. And again, I'm including the two psychiatrists and myself in that.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you need a psychiatric assessment, which is us, right? So on that once a week meeting, at the beginning of it, our intake person presents new referrals for psychiatric assessment,
okay.
right? And so, you know, it actually works very well in that sometimes we'll say, why don't we try this first, that they're not needing to see us, right? But if they need to see us, it's, you know, it's a month to 2 months at the most that they have
yeah.
to wait.
I guess those weekly rounds type meetings where you are with the family doctors too can help reaffirm, like, yes, you correctly referred this patient this pathway, and then they probably improve with time too because you're checking in.
Absolutely.
Kind of having discussions about, yes, we did this right, or this maybe could have been tweaked in the future.
And these family doctors are wonderful, right? Very often it's a matter of, am I doing the right thing? And they are.
Yeah.
Right? They are. But just having this option that they know that they can come to these meetings if they have questions. I know because I worked as a family doc, right? And, you know, it would have, it's, in those days, it was, which worked fine too. We were a very collegial group. You know, if I wanted to talk to an internist about someone's diabetes, right? It's lovely to pick up the phone and talk to them. But even then, it's back then it was phone tag and waiting.
Yeah.
And, you know, this, you know, you have a time to talk about your patient at the meeting.
And you can stash up all your questions.
Right, exactly. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
That's perfect. This collaborative care model for mental health allows for a multidisciplinary approach to mental health and allows for faster access to psychiatric care for patients. Join us next week when we continue talking about this subject. Have a great rest of your day.